You're back inside my Fix It Up Life. We're here at the International Builders Show in Orlando, Florida. My wife is here, who was here 1 minute ago.
And I'm smiling at you because it's just so nice that you remember where we are.
Yeah, and actually, I have to, and I got a ton. Oh, we're joined by Tom Silva. He's already laughing at me because he knows I had to think about it.
I know the feeling. Believe me, I know the feeling. Where am I today?
Yeah, I'm in Orlando more. Boston Angeles.
So. Yeah, Boston Angeles. Yeah, you get confusion. There's one hotel room after another. You don't know where you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're very excited to talk to you this morning. Thanks for
thank you.
Time out of your busy schedule for
it's
us.
It's great to be here again.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Yeah, you're looking good.
Thank you.
Still
thank
working
you.
Out? You can tell I'm working out now, right?
That's without a doubt.
Yeah.
Tom grew about 8 inches since the last time.
Yeah, all right. I didn't need that. Yeah, my belt is definitely bigger. Yeah.
I didn't mean that.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, insert open mouth, insert foot.
Well,
there you go.
The last time we
nice to see you, Tom.
Thanks for coming on the show. Be here. Go ahead. Glad I'm going to run now.
Literally. So, the last time we talked with you, you were talking about all the things that you were doing at your house.
Oh, my God.
And it made our heads spin around.
Yeah.
And thinking about it, whenever we're, you know, bogged down at our house and our projects and everything, we always say, well, remember Tom Silva's honey-do list at home and all the things that he's done at his house? It makes us feel a little more calm.
Yeah, the 30-year-old starter house, is that what it was?
Well, it's a 150-year-old starter home. I had it lived in it for now 35 years, and I just hopefully completed my last renovation. It was a major one, though. I basically stripped all the siding off, took all the insulation out, put new windows in, put foam in, I put new siding on, I put new trim on, I put a new roof on, I put photovoltaics on, I put a dormer on, I put radiant heat in, and new bathroom, floating floors, new heat system.
I'm going to take a nap.
When
I wake up,
so
I'm
done.
Done the list.
I'm done.
So how long did that take you?
About 3.5 months.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
We're not moving that fast.
We don't move that fast.
Well, you know what? I just bring my crew in, and I just
drive the old wagon.
There you go.
Push them along.
There's photovoltaics.
Photovoltaics, yeah.
So how did you decide to do that in your house?
Well, we've done photovoltaics on a few of our projects, and the incentives were pretty good for the government and the state. And so, you know, basically, I got photovoltaics put on the roof of my house, which is going to pay for about a sixth of my electricity because I didn't want to cover the whole roof with it. And I got it for basically a little over $10,000, which is more than half of what the value was because of the taxes. And you know, I just wanted to be part of the system. You know, whatever I can do to save, I want to save. Then I put radiant heat in. It's easier to heat my house. It's
how
much more comfortable.
How is that working? The radiant heat.
My wife fought me on it, she said, because I have a neighbor that years ago put radiant heat in their house, and I kept telling Mike when I put it in, I said, you've got to get it adjusted, because his wife kept complaining about the house being too hot. And I said, you never had them come back and adjust it and tune it, because we put radiant heat in houses all the time.
Right.
And my wife fought me on it. She said, oh, Mike and Marsha have had nothing but problems. I said, Mike never doesn't want to get it adjusted. Well, we have it in our house now, and my wife loves it.
You know how much I love that you fought with your wife about that, and that you have so much experience putting it in
your
houses.
She never
and she says, you know, Tom Silva, you don't know what you're talking about.
She never listens to me.
Yeah, so you're talking to me like you've done this before.
Yeah. So I just did it anyway.
There you go.
That
but
is hilarious.
Now she
there you go.
It's great stuff.
Now, do you have people knocking on your door saying, hey, you know, I'm putting in a mailbox. Can I borrow a shovel? And then can you do it for me?
We have people knocking on our door with ask this old house and ask and this old house. But for me, my neighbors don't come and knock on my door.
Okay.
Is that because of something that's happened in the past or because they just
privacy? No, I think they give me privacy. They respect it. I mean, I've gone and helped my neighbors. I went over the other, about a year and a half ago, I know, across the street to one of my neighbors. He was putting a beam in his basement. And he came over and asked me a couple of questions. I said, well, let's go over. I'll give you a hand. So I helped him put a beam in his basement. to take out a lally column.
But you can just take those out, by the way.
You'd knock them right out. Just, you know, if you just stay out of the way, that's not going to be a problem.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is a famous DIYer mistake.
I went into a guy's house years ago when I was working for my dad. We went into a house, and the guy took the wall between the kitchen and the dining room down because he wanted to open it up.
Sure.
And he couldn't understand why the ceiling was sagging 4 inches. 4 inches right across like that.
And the joists were just nailed
there. Oh, yeah, they were nailed right there. Two bedrooms upstairs.
Sure.
Yeah. So if you rolled out of bed, you would have rolled to the middle of the room.
Oh, my goodness.
How were his doors closing in there?
They weren't.
Yeah, right.
They weren't. Yeah. So we spent the day fixing that. So
here's a question for you. We watch you on This Old House. We watch you on that Ask This Old House.
Yes.
Seen you do everything from rough framing to retrofitting a timber frame to routing housed stringers in a stair.
Mm-hmm.
Is there one thing or another in the carpentry realm that is a little more challenging for you than another, or are you really that awesome?
Awesome, I don't think. No, I don't think awesome. You know,
jealousy aspect.
When I was young, I'm gonna go above the question a little bit. When I was young and started in the business with my dad, I actually grew up in the business. I grew up in a house that was built in the 1700s. My dad bought the house from his mother-in-law, my grandmother. And I learned my trade as a very young kid because my dad was working on the house at evenings and on weekends, and there was always something to do. So I learned every aspect of the trade from about when I was 5 years old till now. I'm very old. But I've never wanted to do anything else. So when we were younger and I was working for my dad when I was in junior high school and high school and so on down the line, you basically did every aspect of the job. You didn't have siding guys. You didn't have roofing guys. You didn't have plasterers. You did it all. And so for many years, we dug trenches. We dug stones. We laid brick. We plastered. We insulated. We did this. So I grew up as multitasking everything.
Wow.
And so it's, I think that's allowed me to get through Ask pretty easy. If someone has a question, I know how to answer because I've done it.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
There's no faking.
Yeah.
You can't fake it.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like it, you know.
Pretty hard to fake. I try.
So with being so concerned with the building industry and everything, you know, we took a 24-hour vacation over the summer.
24 hours?
24 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. You know,
At once.
Yeah, they were all in a row.
They were all in a row. Yeah. And we found ourselves within 4 hours, we were walking by a job site. We just started breaking down what was happening there and talking with. Can you let go on vacation?
I never took a vacation until probably 5 or 6 years ago. I started taking a vacation. I took a vacation once in 1986. I took a vacation for a week and a half.
This isn't good.
That's like a magazine headline.
we took my first trip. I took my kids and we went down to, I drove to Florida. Came down to Disneyland.
Here.
And I was crazy the whole time. I had a good time, but I couldn't wait to get back to work. And then about four or five years ago, I started taking vacations. I take March. This last year, I took March. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
We keep fantasizing about vacations.
Yeah, it's become theoretical for us at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's theoretical for me.
Yeah. Nights and weekends.
Yeah. My vacation was Sunday morning.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
That is really good.
So, what were you working on before you came down to the show? Can you spill the beans on that, or is that
the day before I left, I did an Ask remote where I basically showed a homeowner. I actually did the project with Kevin and I went in, and we basically had a basement. People wanted a playroom for the kids. Now, the walls were plastered, but the basement floor was cold, and it was hard, and they wanted to basically soften the blow so the kids could play on it. So we went in and we put an underlayment over the floor instead of a floating floor, and basically used a product that was called Homasote. And Homasote is a great insulator. It's very hard. It's very tough. 4x4 sheets. It's curved underneath. We glued it to the floor, and then we laid these carpet tiles over it. And it was a great project.
I love carpet tiles.
Yeah, and you can make all kinds of designs and stripes, and you can put them diagonal. You can do all kinds of great stuff with it. It's a recycled product, and it's not cheap.
Did you do like a checkerboard?
We did do a checkerboard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we started laying it. I said, let's lay this in a checkerboard. So that's what we did. I was going to do diagonal, because one of the things that you got to be aware of is when you lay in the carpet tiles, they're like 19.2 because it's a metric, but you got to watch out that you don't line up any of the edges of the tile with the subfloor, because you don't want the seams to match up. So it took a little bit of finagling. We had to lay it all out one direction, another direction, and slide it here and slide it there. We couldn't just take the two center points, square off of that, and work it out.
Right.
So it took about a half an hour to lay it all out, and then we went for it.
And then did you do it such that the carpet tiles on one side and the other side, left, right, top, bottom, were the same width?
Well, that would be if you take your center lines off the middle of the room,
yeah.
And then you adjust your tile. So you either put the edge of your tile on those chalk lines,
right.
Or if they're not even on the other end, and let's say you end up with a 1-inch piece, then you take the tile and you center the tiles on the chalk line, and that gives you a bigger or a smaller piece around
right.
on the side. But what we had to do, this room was so irregular and so out of square,
huh.
It was an old house, but I had to take a focal point of the room, which was the fireplace. And I took a parallel off the front of the fireplace, so I had a nice, even tile there. I didn't want to have a crooked tile. Of course, in a situation where you have a room like that, I find that the best thing, or sometimes the easiest thing to do, is lay the whole room diagonal. And then you don't see the art of square or awareness of the room.
But well, here we...
That's a really good tip from Tom Silva.
Here we find ourselves in a situation where Tom's got to go, we've got to go, and we want you to stay... can someone bring in lunch?
Let's go on vacation.
Yeah, bring in lunch. I can stay. This is a lot easier.
Well, we will see you with more from the International Builders Show on My Fix It Up Life.
Great to be here, guys. Sometimes I thank